Today on Compassion Radio.
The part that can be heartbreaking to me is to see people who are proclaiming the name of Christ, who are speaking and looking towards a refugee with nothing but disdain, with no love, no compassion. That is heartbreaking to me. I get all the political stuff. I get you have to balance all these different things, but in that, there has to be love. If not for the person who has lost everything, then who?
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way. Now today, Bram connects with Joe McCann, the director of Mission Services for World Relief in North Carolina. Among other things, they talk about how the recent developments in immigration policy here in the U.S. have impacted their ability to serve the immigrant and refugee community. They also talk about the very real issue of child trafficking. Along with that, they discuss the importance of having a biblical and Christ-like view of the role of the church in welcoming refugees. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's the second half of that conversation.
Okay, so this happened to you, Joe. You were moved by God to step in and say, okay, God's got something in this for me. He wants me to obey and to pursue this only religion that is acceptable. So what did you do?
So at the time, I basically said, okay, God, so you want me to do something about this anti-human trafficking thing, which I really don't know anything about. And so I started just learning. I started looking into what is human trafficking, what are some different organizations around, reaching out, and then starting to see what do I have that I can utilize at this point. So at the time I was in music, so I began using that platform to bring awareness. I started meeting people around the state that I lived in who also cared about this issue. And so I started gathering those people together, and we would just, I just asked everybody to come meet, and we met, and we just said, is there something we can do together? Because I definitely was finding that when somebody goes off to try and address an issue like human trafficking on their own, they often feel lost and feel like they don't know where to start and how to really have an impact. And so as we got together, there was strength in us coming together, and we started saying, what can we do together? And so that ended up leading to something called, I lived in the state of Maine at the time, the Maine Freedom Project. And so just a group of volunteer people all working together to bring awareness, raise funds for nonprofits that are addressing the issue. And then, you know, through a time of fasting and praying, God called me to start seeking to work full time in the nonprofit world, and ended up applying for a position at World Relief. So,
how many years has it been now that you've served with World Relief?
About 6.5 years now.
Did you jump immediately to a position here in the Carolinas at the time, or were you moving around looking for other things?
Yeah, I did. We were. I was up in Maine with my wife and family, and we were ready to get somewhere a little warmer. Also, just kind of seeking to, again, just find what is it that God might be calling us to. And started looking at different positions, and this is the one that showed up.
And you started earlier on, as I saw your earlier title was Church Engagement and Development Officer, and now you're the Director of Mission Services. So you've taken a leap into overseeing a lot of ways of reaching families and individuals that end up in your community. Jennifer reminded me that over 10% now of the entire population of this area come from a background of some kind of immigrant or refugee status. That's a lot of people hiding in these woods.
Yeah.
And they're transforming the fabric of the society here. And I'm suspecting for the better, not for the worse. So tell me about the process of getting to know the situation you've found here in North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, so one of the cool things about my position at World Relief and World Relief's mission. So our mission is to empower the local church to serve the most vulnerable. And so in everything that we do, as we do seek to serve the vulnerable, we're looking for how do we do that in a way that helps the church also grow and develop into its calling. And So a lot of what we do is we look to make relational connections. So we do different volunteer opportunities where we connect a one-on-one, we connect families to families, a group of people to walk alongside a family, and we've just seen amazing things come from that. A lot of times when I'm talking to people about refugee ministry, first I want to make the case that refugees need the church, that it is God's calling on the church, and that refugees have, as you can imagine, lost so much. They're coming to a very unfamiliar place, and there are so many hurdles for them to face as they go through this refugee resettlement process that they go through. And that when a refugee has somebody in the community who says, I'm going to walk with you through this, that I'm going to provide community and friendship and advice and direction, that it has a huge impact on that refugee and their ability to thrive and become a part of the community. But then also, I always want to try and make the point as well, because I believe this strongly, that as much as the refugee needs the church, the church also needs the refugee.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again whenever it's convenient just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry and take a look at all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement. But consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for this special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478. Or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I always want to try and make the point as well, because I believe strongly that as much as the refugee needs the church, the church also needs the refugee.
Unpack that one for me. Why does the church need a refugee?
Because what I've seen over and over is that this experience of meeting, getting to know, developing relationships with somebody who is very different than you in a lot of ways and has experienced very different things than you've experienced, that has gone through things that a lot of times most of us cannot even comprehend, who has a different perspective, it changes us. And I think it changes us for the better. It opens our eyes to the wider world around us. It helps us get new perspectives. It's very easy for us and for the church as a whole to become insulated.
Yeah.
And
insular at the same time.
Yeah. And so we have the people around us who are very similar to us, and we're kind of have our bubble. And this experience of partnering and connecting and building a relationship with somebody from very much outside that bubble really can have a positive impact on your perspective of the world, of God, of all these different things. I think pulls us closer to God's desire for how we function, you know?
I think about the missions efforts that have grown into social welfare programs or international outreach. We feel a whole lot more comfortable with investing in those things remotely mm-hmm. by saying, let's take the solutions to where they are. It's more efficient anyway. And now I would agree with that on the global scale, because if we had found a way to avoid the wars that are happening in Iran, Iraq, and Syria now, or the conflicts in Africa, and we'd be able to somehow stop that, we could have stopped a huge amount of human suffering mm-hmm. and a huge burden on social services and political systems throughout the world.
Sure.
We could have. It didn't happen. So we have to respond. I mean, God says, this is the world I gave you. Do something with it. But we're talking about not just making ourselves uncomfortable. We're talking about popping the bubble now mm-hmm. by saying the world has now come to you. Maybe not as fast as it was last year because the government has shut down most of the refugees coming to America, but they're still coming. So what do you tell the church when you have the opportunity to say you can be involved in solving this problem on a spiritual level that nobody else can? Mm-hmm. How do you present it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it really is the twofold. It really is presenting the idea that God has called us as believers to care for people in vulnerable situations, and there are people in vulnerable situations right here in our community. And one of those groups is the refugee mm-hmm. Or the immigrant or the survivor of human trafficking. And we have an opportunity, and we're here to walk with you through that process. You don't have to just dive into it on your own. You don't need to go walk the streets and try to find somebody who looks like they're international. You know, yeah. We'll help make those connections. We'll train you. We'll guide you through this process and work with you. But I do think also that there is, not in everyone, but in many, a desire for something a little deeper, something transformative. Not everybody's going to be there now. Maybe some people won't ever, but there's a desire to be transformed and have some perspective change and experience new things. And honestly, it's pretty exciting. Yeah. It's pretty fun trying new foods, experiencing new cultures, welcoming someone at the airport when they arrive in the country, setting up their home for them before they get here and trying to really make it nice, and feeling useful when you are able to share something that is just normal for you that is new to someone else. And it's pretty exciting. Yeah. It's pretty fun. They are enjoyable. They are transformative. And just trying to help people see the impact of those things on their own lives.
Think about when you had your kids. Mm-hmm. What incredible excitement it is for you. They have no clue what they're going through.
Yeah.
But there's something about just having this child in your presence, knowing that everything that happens now for them is new. And I get to be there, be part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
In a lot of ways, the refugee and immigrant coming to us are newborns. They're being passed through from another death. They lost their culture. A lot of, as Jennifer was saying, some mourning going on because of that transition. And there was a lot of pain that led to the reason they moved. No one wants to get up out of their home and leave their country if they feel like they're at home and at peace. They go because there's something wrong.
That's right.
Deeply wrong. So they pass into our hands as newborns, spiritually even, not knowing what to expect. And if anybody should have the faith and courage and the joy of new life, it ought to be Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
And knowing that God has transformed them, that he's going to use you to be a transforming influence on another human being.
That's right. I mean, and I get it that people land all different places on the politics that might surround refugee resettlement programs, all these different things. How many and, you know, from where and all that sort of stuff.
All the quotas.
But at the end of the day, I think the thing, and I've said this many times, is the part that can be heartbreaking to me is to see people who are proclaiming the name of Christ, who are speaking and looking towards a refugee with nothing but disdain, with no love, no compassion. That is heartbreaking to me. I get all the political stuff. I get you have to balance all these different things. But in that, there has to be love. If not for the person who has lost everything, then who, right? And so sometimes I think that is the result of not understanding.
Yeah.
Having never met a refugee, having never read the story of a refugee. I mean, we meet people every day, so we get it. Like, we hear stories, we see their faces, we see that they're families, we see that they have children, that they want to move on with their lives. Not everybody sees that. But we as Christians can land in all sorts of places politically, but we have got to love the foreigner living among us.
Yeah.
And I've had pastors who have said, you know, I don't know where I stand on all that. But if there's a refugee in my community, I believe my church is supposed to love them, you know, and that's it. Okay, we can agree on that as the church, right?
I think about the lessons that were preached to the seven churches in Revelation. I mean, the different kind of places they found themselves in circumstances and the sharp criticism the Spirit had to those churches that thought they were wealthy and had it all together. And the Spirit himself saying, you don't realize how naked you are, how impoverished you are. You dress yourself this way, but I see none of that. I see naked people that need to be rescued. And so God looks at our wealth at times and says, that is no protection from spiritual poverty.
Yeah.
But blessed are the poor in spirit that already know they have nothing and are appealing to God himself, that they are rich with everything. Everything will be added unto them. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of their needs. That God seems to delight in those who will start with humility and appeal to him for sustenance and thank him for his daily bread, for the things he brings us. And I do think about our spiritual bread being the things we can devour that the world knows nothing of.
Right.
And for us to be able to devour the opportunity to love others is something that really feeds our souls.
Amen.
So that's why we talk about these things, that this is not a conservative or liberal issue. It's a Christ issue. And that when you fall in love with him, he's going to help you fall in love with those he loves. In the practical, Joe, what's it like for you now in the current climate in this country and the culture you find yourself here on the East Coast? What do you do? What do you see ahead of you for the church in the next months and years ahead in dealing with these particular issues? And how do you see the path forward for the evangelical community in America to deal with the crises of all these wars and personal tragedies that are coming to America?
Yeah. I mean, here on a local level, in the Triad of North Carolina. We've learned how to train. We've learned how to guide. We've learned systems and resources and all of these sorts of things. And we've been feeling for a time and have been moving in a direction of really how do we utilize these resources and this expertise and our relationships to impact the wider immigrant community as a whole. Again, this idea that as an immigrant, you have certain vulnerabilities and challenges, and we are looking at how do we more and more utilize all the resources and expertise for the wider immigrant community, for as well as for survivors of human trafficking, and so the different populations that we can serve. The other thing that God's really put in our heart is we've been doing this refugee resettlement thing for a long time. And, we've gotten to a place where we really know how to do that, but we want to be going deeper. We want to help people who are coming through our programs be able to reach higher places sooner, be more integrated and involved in their communities.
More productive and more integral to the solutions in their communities, not becoming problems.
Yeah, exactly. And so those are the things that we were already headed towards. And in some ways, this has somewhat accelerated all of that. We have been able to open an immigration legal services department. And now we're able to serve the wider immigrant community in that way as anybody who's ever had anything to do with the immigration legal process, it is extremely complicated, frustrating, hard to navigate, expensive.
And multi-jurisdictional. People are always competing for the authority to say this or that about the situation.
So many challenges. And so for people who are low income, though, a lot of those things are just out of reach. Or they are such a major hit on finances that it's really hard for them to maintain afterwards. So being able to provide as a nonprofit low cost immigration services to those who, you know, refugees need to get green cards. And after 5 years, they're eligible for citizenship. You know, how can we help them through that process? For families who have other family members in their home country or in their the country that they were displaced to and want to try and be reunited with them, you know, there's all these different processes that they could potentially go through and helping them navigate through those. The growth of our anti-human trafficking programs, being able to serve victims of human trafficking who are living here in North Carolina and provide case management services, and now looking at how we can dive in further with the church and really begin to build out tools and resources for the church to get involved in bringing awareness into their communities and doing prevention work and potentially even partnering with survivors.
I want to sit down sometime in the near future and really dig deeper into that issue, because human trafficking is something that we have got to wake up to.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button.
Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.